Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Common Sense Economics by James D. Gortney is a practical guide to the core ideas that drive wealth creation and broad-based prosperity. Written for readers without formal training in economics, it focuses on everyday choices, incentives, and institutions that shape how people earn, save, invest, and trade. The book's central aim is to replace slogans and misunderstandings with clear reasoning about markets, prices, entrepreneurship, and the rule of law. Rather than treating economics as abstract theory, it connects principles to real-world outcomes like job opportunities, living standards, inflation, and the cost of government policies. Readers are guided through foundational concepts such as voluntary exchange, competition, productivity, and the importance of stable money, while also addressing common policy debates where good intentions can produce harmful results. The tone is accessible and civic-minded, encouraging critical thinking about claims made in politics and the media. Overall, it serves as a compact framework for interpreting economic news and evaluating proposals that affect prosperity. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, scarcity, choice, and the logic of opportunity cost. A central theme is that scarcity forces trade-offs, whether for individuals, businesses, or governments. The book emphasizes that every choice has an opportunity cost, meaning the value of the best alternative you give up when you decide. This way of thinking clarifies why free benefits are never truly free and why resources devoted to one goal cannot simultaneously serve another. When consumers choose to spend more on housing, they may sacrifice savings or leisure. When governments direct funds to a new program, they often displace private spending or other public priorities. Understanding opportunity cost also helps readers evaluate policy claims that focus on visible benefits while ignoring hidden costs, delays, or unintended consequences. The topic builds a habit of asking the right questions: what is being sacrificed, who bears the cost, and what alternative uses are foregone. By applying these ideas, readers can make better personal decisions about education, career, and budgeting, and can also judge public debates more realistically. The outcome is a clearer sense of economic reality. Prosperity grows not from wishes, but from allocating limited resources toward their most valued uses. Secondly, gains from trade, specialization, and the role of prices. The book highlights how voluntary exchange and specialization expand what people can consume beyond what they could produce alone. Trade allows individuals and nations to focus on tasks where they are relatively more efficient, then exchange results for other goods and services. This raises total output and living standards, even when one party appears more capable at many tasks. Prices are presented as the coordination mechanism that makes this possible. They summarize information about scarcity, preferences, and production conditions, guiding producers on what to make and guiding consumers on what to buy. When prices are allowed to adjust, they help ration limited goods, encourage innovation, and reduce waste. When prices are distorted by controls, subsidies, or protectionism, the signals become noisy and resources can be misallocated, producing shortages, surpluses, and lower quality. This topic also connects competition to consumer welfare, showing how rivalry pushes firms to improve offerings and reduce costs. Readers come away able to interpret price changes as messages, not moral judgments, and to see how open exchange and flexible prices can be essential ingredients of sustained prosperity. Thirdly, entrepreneurship, incentives, and why productivity matters most. Prosperity depends heavily on productivity, the amount of value created per unit of time, labor, and capital. The book explains that rising living standards are not mainly the result of working more hours, but of producing more and better output with improved methods, tools, and organization. Entrepreneurs play a key role by spotting opportunities, taking risks, and experimenting with new products, services, and business models. Incentives shape whether those efforts flourish. When people can benefit from creating value, they invest in skills, start ventures, and allocate capital toward higher return uses. When incentives are weakened by unpredictable rules, punitive taxation, or barriers to entry, innovation slows and resources shift toward unproductive activities. The topic also clarifies that profits and losses have an informational function. Profits tend to reward meeting consumer needs efficiently, while losses signal that resources should be redeployed. By framing entrepreneurship as discovery and coordination rather than exploitation, the book helps readers understand why dynamic markets often outperform centralized plans in adapting to change. The practical takeaway is that policies and personal decisions that strengthen productivity, skills, and innovation tend to have the largest long-run payoff for incomes and opportunity. Fourthly, institutions, property rights, rule of law, and limited government. The book argues that good institutions are the foundation of wealth. Secure property rights, reliable contract enforcement, and the rule of law create a predictable environment where people are willing to save, invest, and cooperate with strangers. When ownership is protected and disputes are resolved fairly, long-term projects become feasible, credit markets can function, and businesses can expand. The topic also stresses that government quality matters more than government size. Effective governments protect rights, provide basic public goods, and set clear rules, but can undermine prosperity when they grant special favors, impose arbitrary regulations, or allow corruption and rent-seeking. When political power is used to redistribute benefits to well-connected groups, resources shift away from productive activity toward lobbying and compliance. Readers are encouraged to evaluate institutions by outcomes. Do they support broad opportunity, stable expectations, and fair competition? The book connects these institutional differences to the wide gaps in prosperity across countries and across time, showing how similar human talent can yield very different results under different rules. The key lesson is that enduring wealth depends on trustworthy systems, not just on natural resources or short-term stimulus. Lastly, money, inflation, and the economic costs of policy mistakes. Sound money is presented as a crucial ingredient of a healthy economy because it supports planning, saving, and investment. The book explains that inflation is not merely rising prices, but a decline in the purchasing power of money, often linked to excessive growth in the money supply. Inflation can redistribute wealth unpredictably, erode savings, distort price signals, and encourage short-term thinking. Even moderate inflation can create hidden costs through uncertainty, bracket creep in taxes, and misallocation of capital. The topic also addresses why well-intended policies can backfire when they ignore incentives and constraints. Price controls can create shortages, poorly designed stimulus can misdirect resources, and heavy-handed interventions can slow recovery by increasing uncertainty. By focusing on unintended consequences, the book trains readers to ask how policy changes affect behavior, not just outcomes on paper. It also underscores the importance of credible monetary and fiscal institutions that limit discretionary manipulation and maintain stability. The practical benefit is a more informed perspective on headlines about interest rates, deficits, and the cost of living, along with a clearer sense of why stability and predictability often matter as much as the policy goals themselves. In conclusion, this book is best suited for students, voters, managers, and curious readers who want a clear, non-technical framework for understanding how wealth is created and why some societies prosper more than others. It is also useful for anyone who feels overwhelmed by economic news and wants tools to judge claims about jobs, wages, inflation, and government programs. The main benefit is practical clarity. By learning to think in terms of incentives, trade-offs, prices, and institutions, readers improve both personal decisions such as saving, investing in skills, or starting a business, and public decisions such as evaluating policy proposals and political arguments. Compared with many introductory economics texts, it aims for accessibility and civic relevance rather than heavy math or academic jargon, making it easier to retain and apply. Compared with opinion-driven books, it emphasizes foundational principles that remain useful across political cycles, helping readers spot unrealistic promises and unintended consequences. It is worth buying because it provides a compact set of mental models that can be revisited for years, strengthening financial judgment, workplace decision-making, and informed citizenship in a world where economic misunderstandings are costly. If you would like to support James D. Gortney, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.